And that's what spiritual maturity needs to be about. If you're going to achieve spiritual maturity, there's four things you got to do. First of all, you got to want to grow. You got to want it. It's not something that's just going to happen. You've got to want it. Then you've got to make the decision that you want to grow. Then you've got to make an effort. And then hopefully you're at the place where we're talking about today. Keep growing. A lot of people stifle and they get to that point, but they never go beyond that. They remain infants in Jesus Christ all of their lives. Listen, all of us understand that we don't mind feeding a baby a bottle. We just don't want to split the whiskers to get the bottle in his mouth. You've heard that one before too, haven't you? But there are some people that are like that. They just haven't grown up and grown beyond all of these things. And it's a sad place that you find yourself. Here's a quote that I found that I thought was extremely just kind of defining of the moment. Strong sons of God. Don't you like that title? Strong sons of God are not perfected by childish pursuits. Strong sons of God are not perfected by childish pursuits. You know what? It's the action of getting and obtaining and going toward and growing beyond where we are now into maturity that God wants us to be. Stop and think about it. If everybody around you was mature, how much better would your life be? Well, aren't you waiting for one day when your children will grow up? Now, I don't know how that goes. When your children grow up and they think the way you do, they think of your house as their house. They take care of things the way that you would take care of. They put things away the way that you would put them away. They clean up after themselves the way you clean up after them now. That's the kind of maturity we're looking for, but no, this is very seldom that we get it. At the office, don't you wish people were as mature as you were? That they take responsibility for the tools and for all of the equipment and the supplies and stuff like that. That they put things back where they belong. That they cleaned up after themselves when they get a cup of coffee. All of those things. See, you're so mature, you just wish they would follow your example. But obviously, all we want to do, we just want these people to grow beyond. The second thing is this. It is a gradual, progressive process that will take you the rest of your life. It is something we will never reach spiritual maturity to the point that we stop and go, I have arrived. It obviously is a journey. It is not a point in time. It's not a place on the map. It is somewhere that we're going that will always be reaching beyond where we are. And if you've gotten enough of the Bible, God bless you. But I guarantee you there's evidence that you don't have enough of the Bible. If you've prayed enough, God bless you. But I guarantee you there's evidence that you don't pray enough. If your life is together and God and you are just cool and you don't have to do anything else the rest of your life but just glide, then God bless you. But I guarantee you, you've got a lot of trouble ahead of you. And we need to grow. Because the challenges are going to grow. The circumstances are going to grow. I found this is a guy named Tim Hansel. He wrote a book called Holy Sweat. Don't you just want to pick that one off the shelf? But here's what he said. Sometimes when we read the words of those who have been more than conquerors, we feel almost despondent. I feel that I shall never be like those people. But they won by little steps, taking one step at a time, by little bits of wills, little denials of self, little inward victories by faithfulness in very little things. They became what they are, and no one sees those little steps. They only see the accomplishment. But even so, those small steps were taken. There is no sudden triumph, no immediate spiritual maturity. That is the work of a lifetime. And in one small little sidebar, he says this, it is like taking giant leaps at a snail's pace. You know what? You didn't notice that I turned a day older. But did you see the difference between these seniors and their baby pictures? Trigger? I mean, what was it? Tigger, yeah. Really? You need to talk to your parents about that one. There's a huge difference. And people should measure our spiritual maturity like that. When people haven't seen you in 5 years, they should be amazed at where you are spiritually. Maybe they are amazed about where you are spiritually. But hopefully not in the negative. Hopefully not in the wrong way. We need to grow up, and it's casual. It's one little thing right after the other. But if you keep putting these things together, God will bless you. The third thing is this. You cannot obtain spiritual maturity in isolation. It will not happen in the closet. It will not happen all by yourself. Now, there's a lot of things that you'll do in private. You'll read your Bible. You'll have your prayer closet. You'll have your personal times with God, but it will bleed over into the public. It will bleed over into what you do with other people. We need other people. You see, one of the greatest evidences that you are going spiritually is what you do through serving others. If you're going spiritually, it won't be that you're a secluded, a wise man of the mountain type thing, to where people have to climb tall peaks, mountain peaks. They have to climb for days and days and days just to get into your audience and ask you one simple question, and you're the only one up there. Are you kidding me? It's going to be down here in the mix of all the muck and all of the rough stuff. And the people are going to seek you out because you're surviving down here and not because you're secluded up there. That's what spiritual maturity looks like. They're not seeking you out. Maybe there's some maturity that needs left to be obtained. And we need to look closely at that. Let me share five things with you real quickly. Real quickly. If spiritual maturity is going to be a part of your life, these are five decisions you're going to have to make. Number one, you're going to have to make sure that Jesus is your God and he is your goal. Now, we'd love to just think about knowledge and all these other things, but it starts with Jesus Christ being the most important thing in your life and that you want to make sure that he is your goal. He is everything in your life, that you want him to be everything for you. Now, listen, this is not imitation. It's real easy to imitate somebody that you want to be. But it's called impartation. It is because you become who he is. It's not that you just learn the right words to their certain questions. It's not that you learn how to respond in certain circumstances. It's that you really become Christ-like. That's what the Bible encourages all of us to do. I remember the day I came home, and you've probably heard me tell the story before. I walked through the house. The next thing you know, my mom comes up from the basement. She says, "Where's your dad?" I said, "Dad's not home." She goes, "What's funny? You're the only one here?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "When you walked in, you sounded just like your dad." I don't even want to sound like my dad. I don't want to be my dad. I want to sound like my dad. But you know what? Debbie did it the other day. She goes, "You walk just like your dad." Just made me so angry. But wait a second. What's so wrong with looking like my dad? I mean, is he really that ugly? Does he walk that weird? Evidently, he does. You see, there's a part of time in your life where you begin to understand that maturity says, no, that's the compliment, that I look more like my father, that I do take on some attributes that look more like God than they do a guy down here on his own trying to figure out what day it is and always making mistakes and fumbling all over himself, that I do speak like him, that when people hear my voice, hopefully they associate it more with the God that I serve than who I am as an individual. It's not a bad thing. It's called impartation, not imitation. The second thing is decide that you're going to do whatever it takes to grow. You're going to do it, whatever it takes. This is the hard part. Now, I don't know if this is really true, but it sounded like a good illustration to me. They say that when eagles, they design their nest, they're big birds. Now, they start with the branches and stuff like that, but then they start adding stuff like bone and sticks and briars and thorns and maybe even pieces of rock in this thing. And then they start cushioning it, you know, with feathers and leaves and all kinds of other stuff. And by the time these little baby or eagles are laid, you know, that it's real soft and cushy. But then when they grow up and they hatch, it says that the mother eagle will begin to start plucking all of that nice furry stuff out of there, that the only thing left are the briars and the thorns and the rocks and the pieces of bone. And the eagles are going, "This isn't very comfortable anymore. I got to get out of here." Well, you know what? Every now and then, it's good to get kicked out of the nest because it motivates us. And sometimes the choice has to be our choice and not something that someone else chose for us. That we're the ones saying, "You know what, I choose the route of uncomfortableness. I choose the route of being inconvenienced because I want to grow." And that's not easy to do. If we put a sign-up sheet for that out there today, nobody's going to sign that up. You're not going to sign up for less. You want more. You're going to sign up for tough. You want cushy. We're going to sign up for inconvenience. You're going to go, "I want convenient." Sure you are. But if you want to grow spiritually and mature, you're not going to go down that road. The third thing is this. Decide to take someone with you. Decide that there's somebody out there that is worth the value of taking with you. Let me read what W.H. Griffith said this. "As water never rises above its level, so what we do our actions, what we do, never rises above what we are. We shall never take people one hair's breadth beyond our own spiritual attainment. We may point to higher things, but we only take them as far as ourselves have gone. Mom and Dad, let me tell you what. You can tell your kid they need to be right, act right, go to the right places, read their Bible, pray. But if they don't ever see you act right, do right, read your Bible and pray, they're never going above and beyond where you've gone. If you want your friends to obtain, to want to be something more in God, then they better see a lot more in you than they see in themselves. Because they're only going to come up to your standards. I've told John, I don't have two hands. That's a two-handed illustration. I can't use it. I'll have to do it like this. I've told John and Jen, I said, you know what? You set your standards up here as a youth pastor. And I said, your youth are going to set it down here. So I'll just bring it down here to where it's a little bit lower. But they're never going to go beyond what you set for them as an example as youth pastors. So you know what? Your standard better be pretty good. If you want these kids to go off to college and be excellent examples of Jesus Christ and refresh youth ministries here at Kellermore Assembly of God, you better make sure that you're toeing the line yourself. Now, I can put the pressure on them and push the pressure on parents, but the pressure is on ourselves. We've got to rise above where we are. Number four, decide that today is going to be the day that you begin your journey. Most of us love to plan trips, but we never go on them. Most of us have great dreams, and they're called pipe dreams because they never become real dreams. Most of us have this goal that I'm going to lose weight, but we never start. Next time you go to the grocery store, you've killed that dream. You're going to kill it in a few minutes when you go to lunch. We never get started. Let's start something for once, would you? Let's start something. I don't care if you would call it a revolution or just a change. Let's start something. Aren't you sick and tired of being the same? Aren't you sick and tired of hearing messages like this and go, yeah, I remember that was about a year ago I heard something like that, and well, you're right, I'm the same. That's not good at all. Hebrews 5:11 says this, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk is still an infant, not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food, the steak you're wanting to eat, is for mature people who are constantly using their training to distinguish between good and evil. That's why some of us are missing it, and that's why temptation always knocks us down a notch. That's why we never get ahead. That's why we always feel like a failure, is because we're not maturing. It's not because, you know, God has abandoned you, and it's not because Satan is out for you more than he is anybody else. Some people are maturing, and they know what to do in Christ. Other people aren't maturing, and they don't know what to do, period. So we've got to stop that and turn around. But can we start today? Can we just make a gentleman's agreement? We're going to start today. I don't know what the equivalent of a gentleman's agreement is with you ladies, but let's just start today too, okay? Just all of us, child. The last thing is this. Commit to your decision. Let me tell you what, if a sermon like this stirs you, most people don't want to commit to going into maturity. What they really want to do is what they've done most of their lives, and that's exercise variety. If I'm not growing here, then I'll just change that, and I'll just do something else, and I'll bounce around here. That's how people do with church hopping. You know that, don't you? It's not because they go, I can grow better over there. They go, well, I just got tired of stirring this pot. I think I'll go over here and stir this pot. And I think I'll search this out. And they never settle into one thing and grow right there because they've never committed to growing. Now, John Maxwell, this guy, he's this leadership guru. And he says there's four stages of people when it comes to commitments. Number one are the cop-outs. Now, anybody want to join up for that group, that title? The cop-outs. Those are people who have no goals and they don't commit. I don't care how much you agree with me today or not. There are some of you that you're not going to do squat. You're not going to do anything. I don't know if that's offensive or not. Can you offend somebody into, you know, really responding to an altar call? I don't know. I probably doubt it. You know, I say that more to be humorous, but, you know, I'm serious. There's some of you, I don't care how much you agree with this. I don't care how much you write it down. You could order the DVD, the tape, the video, and you could write my sermons down and copy it word for word, and you're still not going to do anything. You're a cop-out. Have I offended you enough yet? Because sometimes I shave that guy's face. We cop out sometimes. That's all there is to it. The second one, he says, are holdouts. People who don't know if they can reach their goals, so they're afraid to commit. We're afraid we'll bite off something a little bit too big to chew, that we can't do that. We've never done that, so how can we ever do that now? You know, just make the commitment. I promise you, people will pat you on the back for failing, but they will never pat you on the back for the thing that you never began, because you won't either fail or succeed. So we got to get going. Then there's the dropouts. People who start toward a goal, but they quit because it got tough. Oh, do you really want me to use a diet for an example? Nah, we don't need to do that, do we? And I don't think any other, I can't think of any others, but it's just the most logical example. We really want to do this. We get started and we're down the road, you know, and then somebody invites us over and there's this huge chocolate cake and whatever else, whatever you want to throw in there. There's a million different examples. You don't even have to go down that illustration very long to just understand. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've started a million times and never finished. You know, don't you? And here's the thing. The attitude we use to get into that are the people who never have to diet, because they eat like just the hungry varmints, and they just devour everything in front of them and they never gain anything. Don't you just hate those people? You know, I don't know what to call them. I know what I call them. Me, I'm envious. But you know what? Don't be a dropout either. Then he says they're the all-outs. These are the ones we want to be, obviously. People who set goals, they commit to them, and they pay the price to reach them. Listen, I'm not here for motivational speaking, neither are you, but I'm going to tell you what, that sounds pretty spiritual. And we need to set goals in Christ. We need to set goals in our spiritual lives. And we need to commit to them and pay the price to get to them, because then I think that we will begin seeing spiritual maturity in our lives. But let me tell you what, it starts in the heart, but it's revealed in your actions. Most of us have this spiritual maturity mentality. We want to do this, we want to do that. We've already committed in our heart, but now it's time for action. It's time to drop another one of these discs in there and say, I am working hard to put 3 in a row here, Pastor. And no matter what Satan throws in my row, I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to win this game, because I'm going to have better strategy than Satan. I'm going to use the will of God, the sense of God, the mind of God, His Word, His Spirit, and we're going to get there. And I don't care how many setbacks they have, I'm going to keep going. So here's how I want to end today. Let me remind you again what Philippians 1:9 says. Take that your love may abound. Not just hang in there, not just sit there, but abound. Does that sound like something growing? Does to me. Abound, but when he's still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. And listen to this. And be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are of Jesus Christ. Now that is spiritual maturity. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Just 3 questions I want you to respond to. Real simple. Real simple. I would say, Pastor, today I need to start. If that's you, raise your hand just real quick. Just put it right up, right back down. I need to start. I got to get this thing going. Come on. You need to start. Just think, thank you. Anybody else? Real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? I got to start. Okay. The second question is, Pastor, count me in. I need to start again. I've started. This is a road that sounds very familiar. I've been there. I need to start again. Come on, hands right up, right up. Come on. There you go. Some more. Thank you. This isn't a telethon nor an auction. Just put your hands straight up, right back down. The last thing is this. Pastor, I want to grow beyond where I am right now. This time I don't want to see your hand. I want to see you stand. I want to grow beyond where I am right now. I want to grow beyond where I am right now. Listen, I think it would be irresponsible of me to somehow cause you to feel so bad about where you haven't grown, that you're already so discouraged about what you've lost and what you haven't accomplished, that there's no way that tomorrow's going to be any different. That's not my job. And if it is, it's a very poor representation of what Christ would want a preacher to do. Instead, I want to join in your back pocket. I want to just get behind you, pat you on the back. I want to be that little voice in your ear that says, come on, you know what? Together, I think we can do this thing. I really do. You know, the reason I asked you to stand is because I knew that the vast majority of you will stand, if nothing else, for peer pressure. You know what we need? We need a little accountability. We need to take note that I stood and everybody else stood with me. And if you're not standing, it's because you physically can't, because I know your heart. But Pastor, I want to grow beyond where I am right now. You know what the beauty of that statement is? We're not measuring how much you failed. We're not measuring where you should be. We're measuring where you are and where you want to go. I believe that's what Jesus wants for our life. I don't think he wants your tomorrow to look like today, because it doesn't reflect maturity. It reflects just another duplication. We don't want duplicate copies of what we are. We want to be better than we are. We want to go far beyond that. Do you agree? Then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, from the bottom of my heart, and because of who you are, that you will help me to start this journey of heading towards spiritual maturity. And it starts by loving you even more. I commit my heart to you once again today. And I ask you to take me far beyond where I am. I trust you for tomorrow, for the strength to stay committed. But with your help, I will start this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that today, not because of some big flowery preaching, not because of some scripture that I tried to expand on, but because of who God is and what he wants for your life, that your tomorrow is only the first step in what you're going to be a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. And that we will not look back in disappointment. And you get, let me tell you what, there is going to be some more opposition. You're going to leave here, and whatever dreams you have that God has woken up in your life today, Satan is going to try to just douse them in a hurry. He's going to try to just kill them as quickly as he can. He's going to tell you you didn't mean it as fast as he possibly can. Don't you believe it. Now do me a favor. Take 2 seconds and turn around. Look around. Go ahead. Turn your heads. Look at. See all these people? They're either standing with you or they're lying. So let's not lie to each other. Instead, let's commit to one another. Amen. Father, dismiss us with your love today. Thank you for Bill and Kate being with us. Thank you for these seniors. God, may today be the wonderful start of a new adventure in their life. But God, may it be even more so the brand new day in their spiritual maturity, which they will need for the rest of their lives. God, I pray that you'll grow them greatly. I pray for everyone who has stood. Lord, that you'll bless them, that you'll motivate them, that they'll feel the power of Jesus Christ flowing through their veins as we begin to go far beyond where we are. But it all starts with this step that we take today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I've kept you over way too late. Many of you are way too hungry. God bless you. You're dismissed.